Hey, everybody, and welcome. This is a great way to go out with a bang. This is our last call for the ERC 2019-20 season. Actually, it's not our official last call because actually the official one will be on Saturday for the Vital Healing Kitchen. So we have one more, but I mean, that's kind of a separate program anyway. So I'm sorry for the troubles with the email links. I have no idea how all this is happening, but we have a plan in place where it's going to be different. The issue is if you look at the calendar now, they put in this new calendaring system and I couldn't find the old calendar. So it starts in September. So I couldn't even verify that the calendar system on the computer, it's a great new calendar system. I'm super excited about it because it gives you a calendar view. It gives you a day view. It gives you a view by program. It gives you all your programs together. So I'm fingers crossed that it actually works and saves us time on the back end and saves us all this craziness. So I know a few of you sent in a little RSVP forms in advance and we'll go to those first. And then anybody that has any, you know, closing questions, concerns, celebrations, all of that sort of stuff, then I'm here. I saw yours, Parjanya. I got it, right, finally, Parjanya. We'll go from there. So I guess I'll just start with those because you guys took the time and then, but I don't want to just, I don't like just answering questions that are written. I like to interact with people. So I'll read your question and then we can have a conversation. Does that sound good? Yes. Okay. So now I switched email accounts because I was trying to get figure this out. Okay. So this is, yeah. So the first one that came in was Barbara. Is Barbara here yet? Oh, she said she's not going to. Oh, no, that was for last week. Although it says 8:26, so I don't know. I'll get to hers later then if she's not here. Jenny said yes, she's here. Jenny said yes, they're here. Paula, okay, Paula. Celebrating the progress I've made in this past round of ERC, progress with Nuka Cairo treatments, the arrival of brother's belongings we had shipped from California, my son and daughter-in-law spending the day with Tom and me to unpack John's belongings and share our current thoughts and feelings. That's so beautiful. Phone conversation. Sorry.
Yeah.
Phone conversation for yearly check-in with Dr. Bowman, who is very supportive of current circumstances and very informative about why John's cancer spread so quickly. I would love to hear more about that, what those theories were. And yeah, I'm glad you got to spend that time, but I know how beautiful that kind of time is and the remembrance, but I know.
Yeah.
It's a double-edged sword.
Right.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah.
So would you like to hear the cancer part?
I would like to hear that. Yeah.
Yes. Well, I have suspected for years since I learned about pyroluria and my own zinc insufficiency and high copper issues that John very likely had high copper. And copper is what forms blood vessels and feeds cancer tumors.
Wow.
So when I explained his history and how this cancer went to Dr. Bowman, she said, well, that would explain how this went so fast.
Yes. And the low zinc too, because that's the protection. That's the immune protection.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, it's really reinforces why what we do is so important here, because it's those imbalances that go undetected and then seems like, oh, copper deficiency, you know, copper excess and zinc deficiency, no big deal. But in this case, it turned out to be a big deal.
And I think so. Yeah. That and the infection. Yeah.
Well, the infection, right. Of course. Oh, man. Well, we're going to miss you, Paula.
Yeah,
it's been such a joy to have worked with you over the last 3 years, and please stay in touch and stay in the Vital community or do something, so we can still connect on a regular basis.
Definitely.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I wanted to just congratulate everyone for participating in this, for recognizing how we create health and following a road that really is less traveled by the general population. And I just want to acknowledge everyone who's been on this journey this year and the last two with me, all three of them. Yeah.
It's so true. And you know, that's one of my favorite poems. Okay. It's one of my favorite poems because I think it just describes my life. If we don't know what that two roads diverged in the yellow wood and being one traveler long I stood. I looked at one so young and fair, I don't remember the exact words, and the other one was well worn and all. And then the end is, I don't remember all the middle, but the end is, I took the road less traveled by, and that has made all the difference.
Right. Yeah.
And sometimes it's just easy to go down that, you know, it's got the tire tracks already there. We don't have to forge. We don't have to move any branches out of the way. We just do it. But, you know, and that's the, let's go to the fast food place and just get dinner tonight because I'm too tired to cook. You know, let's just watch Netflix instead of exercising today because, you know, we deserve it. And that sort of mentality is, oh, the easier road is not necessarily the easier road in the long run. Right? Because who did I say this to the other day? It's a cartoon that I have quoted in some of my presentations. And it's basically, so Mr. Patient, which is more difficult for you? Which, you know, which do you think is a better use of your time? You know, spending a couple of hours a day exercising and eating well and taking care of yourself, or 24 hours dead? Oh. And you know what I mean? It's like, and we do, it's like we have to be able to put the work in, right? And our modern society has made it so that nobody wants to do the work. We always want the quick fix, the quick meal, the quick. That's not where you get there. That's not how you get there.
No,
right. Never. It never is. It's never the easier way. You know, those of us who went to college, it might have been easier in the short term to just forget about going to college and studying and learning stuff and just go get a job, any job. But a year or two into it, 4 years into it, 10 years, 20 years into it, you'd be like, where'd my life go, right? I'm tired of bagging groceries or whatever else. Or people have had babies, right? Who's had a baby or raised a child? That ain't an easy job. It's raising kids, and it doesn't end that when they grow up, right? They're constantly having stuff that you have to work with them on. But who would have given it up, right? Because it was worth the effort. Right. And that's what health is about. It's worth the effort. It's worth the time. And thank you for sharing that. Yeah. And thank you for reminding me of that poem, because it is so... Yeah, it's how I live my life.
Yeah. I wanted to tell you one thing. The chiropractor told me that I have a very unusual misalignment, that he's only ever had three other patients with my particular misalignment. So,
oh, interesting.
Right, yeah.
Well, maybe you'll sleep better with getting all that taken care of.
Wouldn't that be great, right?
Wouldn't it be awesome? Yeah.
But he has great energy. He says, oh, this is fun. He says, I really enjoy this, you know, type of challenge. So,
that's great. Yeah. Well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
I think that's another thing. It takes a little patience. We're used to, you have pain, you have whatever, take some aspirin, right? Take some whatever hardcore narcotic drugs and the pain goes away until it comes back. And then really the fire has been burning forever. So it's worth the effort to get those things taken care of.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, let's see who else we had. I know Parjan, yeah, but I think there was one other. No, you're next. Okay. So Parjan, yeah. 7 months post heart failure with placement of a stent in the coronary artery. Heart is healing beautifully with vigorous function. Yay. Suggestions for alternatives to the toxic cardiac drugs my cardiologist has prescribed for me for life for heart failure, hypertension, mild hypertension. slightly high cholesterol. 155 is not freaking high cholesterol, let me just tell you that. That's actually perfect. So I'm just going to get mad at that one.
Yeah.
You should not be on. And, you know, we had somebody else who's in the program who was put on cholesterol-lowering medication because of his high cholesterol of like 170. And he ended up with a necrotizing muscle, you know, autoimmune disease as a result. And he's been trying to recover for the last 3 years, right? So, yes. So, you know, it's hard to, like, I can't really honestly say, like, here's what medications you have, here's the alternative. But what I can say is you've got to say, what are we trying to accomplish? And the person to actually do it this with, and maybe we can hook you up and you can set up an appointment with her, is Mihaela. She's a pharmacist, and she knows this stuff. She's a nutritional pharmacist, and she knows this stuff, and she knows all the different drugs that interfere with each other. She knows, and all the drugs that interfere with nutrients, and then what the mechanism of action of the drugs is. So mild hypertension, you know, it's really what you do is you do things until your blood pressure gets so low, you're going to feel like you're going to pass out. And then you say, doc, I can't take this anymore. It's too low. With mild hypertension, magnesium is super important. It's also super important for cardiac function and the strength of your heart. So magnesium can be helpful. And again, these, I'm just going to throw out some general things, right? Hawthorn berry as an herb, right? It helps with hypertension. It helps with strengthening your heart, right? And again, you need to check out, make sure there's no contraindications for, you know, the medication and, you know, the interactions.
Read about hawthorn, but it looks as though it's something that you wouldn't want to take for long periods of time.
You know, maybe Diana or Lynn could address that. I mean, you with any kind of herb, I like to do a loading dose for a month or two of, you know, daily kind of use, and then go to the, you know, 5 days on, 3 days, 2 days off, what, you know, something like that. And hawthorn, but again, like I said, I don't know, you know, I don't have all the drugs memorized. I don't know what kind of cross-reactivities you might have. Diana or Lynn might know a little bit better than I about that, because I haven't used it extensively with, you know, with the medications and stuff.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And then blood thinners, you know, good old, what do we have? Vitamin K is a clotter. Omega-3 fats. They don't want you to take omega-3 fats before surgery because they thin your blood too much and they're afraid you won't clot. So making sure your omegas, if you haven't done a blood spot fatty acid test, certainly do one. And then try to get that ratio in balance. So the omega-3 and 6 ratio. Going into the site, we have a fats module under nutrition. And going in there and using the chart to try to figure out your ratio of 6 to 3. And you really do need EPA, DHA, and sometimes a little bit higher doses. I would certainly be looking at, you know, in terms of just talking about slightly high cholesterol. If you have slightly high cholesterol, but you have like 75 or 80 as your HDLs, like seriously, your LDLs are still under 100, right? So that's not dangerous, but I would get an advanced lipid panel. Can address any of the things in there, right? Yeah. And then depending on what you see there, niacin might be helpful, CoQ10 might be helpful, all of those things. But looking at those numbers, I don't think you need cholesterol medication. That doesn't seem to be an issue.
I don't think so either. That's why I refused it.
Oh, good. So you did
below 70. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. You know, and blood thinners, right? Like I said, they want you to take baby aspirin and they want you to take, you know, you might be, it depends on your clotting factors. It depends on your platelet counts. It depends on how, you know, do you have some genes for, you know, dangerous genes for high, for clotting. But, and then of course, keeping your blood sugar totally under control, right? That's super important for decreasing the inflammation in the vessels, right? And the thickening and the stiffening of those vessel walls, right? Because you don't want your vessels to close in around the stent, right?
Totally, yeah. So of course, all these meds that I was prescribed and I did take for 6 months, I promised I would take them. I promised myself that I would take them for 6 months unless I had problems. Well, I had so many problems, And, you know, nothing is personalized.
Yeah.
And, you know, every time I took insulin or checked my blood sugar, you know, I would have almost massive bleeding. You know, I had to be so careful. Blowing my nose, you know, I'd have like it was so crazy.
Doesn't sound like you need blood thinners. It just sounds like you were over thinning.
Yeah. So, you know, I've talked with my doctors about all these things. It's a team, and they're all just so programmed in the, you know, in the medical model that there's no room for, you have this problem? Oh, well, let's see what else there could be, right? It's like, but there's nothing other than prescription meds.
Yeah, and they don't know it. They haven't learned it. But here's also the thing. We live in a litigious society. Everybody wants to sue everybody. And if they follow the medical book and you die, nothing, no problem. If they don't follow the medical book and you die, then your family could come and sue them for not doing the right thing. And that's what they're all afraid of.
Right. Dr. Marie?
Yeah.
I would like to just add a quick comment about heart health. Prajanya, what state do you live in?
North Carolina.
Oh my gosh, this is maybe good news. Okay, there is a clinic in Florida, and I know there's other places also, but the woman that either started it or heads it up or does this, she has used your own stem cell therapy for every member of her family. And I'm guessing she's in her 40s. Her mother did a natural facelift just using her own stem cells and no surgery. But when her dad had a heart attack, she used his own stem cells to repair the damage done by the heart attack. And then she and her husband, he had ACL and she had some other injuries, and they each, her husband and herself, used their stem cells for their healing in their issues. And then a teenage son had severe acne and they used his stem cells and his acne is gone. So I think it's the 14-year-old daughter is the only one in the family that hasn't used stem cell therapy for a particular health issue. But that father that had the heart attack, it made me think of you. And I personally listen to Dr. Rita Marie, listen to your own gut, listen to everything. But I know for a fact that you can't make choices, informed choices, if you don't even know about something.
You don't know what the choices are.
And exactly. I only mention that if it might interest you. This is in a small town in Florida. Of course, now I can't remember the name of it off my head, but I could find it and share it. But it is in Florida, and it's a stem cell therapy clinic and very reputable. And I trust the research that they've done. Mm-hmm. She wouldn't be doing this on her mom and her dad or her husband and her son if there wasn't some value to it, especially when the current standard of cancer care is chemo and radiation. And those can kill cancer cells, but they never kill cancer stem cells. And no oncologist will tell you that. And so I just think sometimes when we're more informed, it allows you to make better informed decisions for you. You know, stem cell therapy may not be for you, but if you don't know about it, how can you choose?
Right.
I've actually learned quite a bit about stem cell therapy, you know, and funding it wouldn't be an issue for me, but I would like to check it out anyway. So if you do remember where it was, or I could just Google stem cell clinics in Florida and see what comes up.
Yeah. And you may find something in your area as well. That's either, or they might have some.
There's actually a lot
of
them.
Nice to get. Yeah. A lot of them in Florida or in North Carolina. The other resource to check out, and he may do a phone consult because he would be able to help you with the drug piece, is Joel Kahn. He's a cardiologist. He calls himself the natural cardiologist, right? And he's up in Michigan and he's written a couple of books. I mean, I do stents. I went from stents to forks to, you know, as my tool, right? You know, so I think that he would be a good resource. And right now, I'm sure he does phone consults and you can just send him a list of your drugs and your history. What's that?
Everybody does now.
Yeah. And I know him personally. So if you want me to make an intro to you, I can. Like, he's my butt. So, and he's super smart. And, you know, that's what he used to do surgery all the time and put in stents and recommend all these drugs. And now he doesn't do it. I mean, surely there's times when you have to save a life. But the drugs sometimes you do to save a life, right? You have to do it. But the long-term solution is not to add more toxicity to your body. It's to add less and to add more balance.
Right. I mean, I have enough toxicity going with insulin alone, right? I don't need any more.
Right. Right. How long have you been on insulin?
65 years or something like that. 63.
Yeah. So you are for sure a type 1. You're not a type 2 that went that way. So yeah. So, you know, the lower the insulin you can go, the better, right? Obviously. That's what they don't tell you that either. They just say, you can cover, eat whatever you want, just take more insulin. What they're not telling you is the less insulin you take, the less likelihood of stiffening of your arteries and heart attacks and all that kind of stuff. So, you know,
I only actually knew that a few years ago. And so, you know, I changed the way, you know, my lifestyle and the way I eat accordingly. I take way less insulin than any other person who has diabetes I've ever met. And, you know, here I am with all these years of diabetes, and it's getting harder and harder and harder to control it. And I think a lot of that has had to do with all of these meds. It's been
very well. Yep. Yeah. There's a lot of drug interactions. There's a lot of drug hormone interactions. And that's another one. If you wanted to, we can hook you up with Mihaela, because Mihaela could do a consult with you and just look at all the drugs and look at all your nutrients and then be able to just tell you, you know, what you need to watch out for. And that's what she does. So
I actually heard her speak a month or two ago.
Yeah. She did a really, and she did one on hypertension, right? She did one on the hypertension drugs.
I think that was the one I listened to. It was the most recent one.
Yep. Yeah. So, you know, those are things that we, you know, you got on medications because you had a life-threatening situation and now you want to control it without that. And yeah, you can. Have you done like a C-peptide test to see what?
I'm going to have more blood work drawn a week from today with my primary care physician. So I'll suggest that she might do it anyway. She does every test.
You're type 1 diabetic on insulin for 60 years. Like, why would there be any question about doing a C-peptide, right? You're trying to monitor your pancreatic function. Is it going down? Is it stable, right? It's right. Unlikely to be going up, but is it stable or is it continuing to drop? And what can you do to keep it from dropping? How can you nourish it and keep it from dropping further? So I think an exercise is super important. I don't know if you don't know Jody Stanislaw. She's a type 1 diabetic, and she talks about how everything that applies to her applies to the type 2s as well that are insulin resistant. She goes, look, if I don't exercise vigorously for 2 days in a row, I need to take more insulin on that third day. So it's the same thing for insulin resistance people, right? Your body's going to have to make more insulin on that next day, which is going to aggravate the situation. So the exercise is super important. I mean, she does really heavy duty stuff. Like she, you know, mountain bikes up, you know, up steep hills in the cold and like in the freezing in the winter. You don't have to be that aggressive, but you do need to work it up on a regular basis, and that will keep your level of insulin down. So everything you can do to keep your amount of insulin down is super important. Where's your A1C at? Do you know that?
I would imagine it's going to be pretty high when I have it checked this time. It has been more like 6 or around 6, but I don't think it will be this time. I think it'll be higher.
Yeah. Well, I would do those consultations with people who know it, you know. Annette just came on. Annette, I don't know if she heard anything, but if you have anything to add regarding the insulin and keeping the insulin levels, because you think it's a really important piece, because high levels of insulin stiffen vessels, right?
Well, Parjani was in my group all year.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So we've discussed.
Hey, Annette.
Hi. So I don't have anything new to add because, you know, we worked with her throughout the year. Yeah.
I just recommended that she set up a consult with Mahala.
Mahala for the meds.
And just see what she could be, you know, and again, Mahala's not going to be able to say to you, oh, go off of this and go out, because she's not your doctor, right? But she can tell you exactly what the downsides are, what the mechanism of action is, and what other natural substances can get that. And then you consult with your doctor. With blood pressure, that's a piece of cake, right? You just do the things that are going to keep your blood pressure down. You monitor it. You get a cheap home unit and you monitor it. Yeah. And of course you're like, I know people on blood pressure medication, they're going, wow, my blood pressure is 90 over 60. Well, talk to your doctor and get the medication lowered. Why do you don't need 90 over 60, right? Let's get the medication lowered. And it naturally does. And I remember one lady I was working with and she had hypertension and I was working with her on her nutrition and she was on whatever blood pressure medication. And she called me up one day. She goes, I don't know what's wrong with me. Every time I stand up, I feel like I'm going to faint. I'm dizzy. I'm like, go check your blood pressure. Your blood pressure is too low. You're going to have your doctor lower the dose. And sure enough, right. It was
totally
right. So that's an easy one, you know, and the sugar, you know, too, you monitor your sugar. Do you have a continuous meter?
Some wacky stuff with Dexcom. They haven't been sending me supplies monthly since February. So I know it's really been very difficult, but hopefully
how can you manage your insulin if you don't have reliable?
Everything, you know, is manual at this point. I actually am wearing a meter right now. I mean, a sensor right now, just because I had one that failed. And so they sent me a new one. So every time one fails, which is every time a sensor will fail, they never last 10 days. I'll call them, they'll send me another one. I've been limping by, but I've had months of time where I've had no CGM sensors at all. So I've been checking by hand, which is, it's so tedious. And it's
tedious and it's, you know, you don't get to do it as regularly as you need to manage insulin. It's one thing for us to not have that information. We're managing food. That's a little bit different. It's not like threatening if you get the dose wrong.
Right? And for me, I've had trouble during the night. And, you know, I'm not up at night checking my blood sugar by hand. So with the CGM, it's great.
Right, it alarms you and says, hey,
you took
insulin. Yeah.
Parjanya?
This is really criminal.
Parjanya, are you on Facebook?
I don't use it, but yes, I am.
Okay, because there are diabetes share groups on there. And you can get, people will give away their extras.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm not promoting any of this because, you know, what we do with that stuff, we're not supposed to do. Well, it's illegal.
Yeah.
Right. So, but people do go on, they share supplies, they share their extras. And sometimes it's just, if you cover postage, I'll mail them to you. Yeah. Are you a G6?
Yes.
Okay. You can restart those.
Oh yeah. Okay. You have that cheaty way.
The 10-day ones?
Yeah.
They never even last 10 days.
See, my kid tends to wear hers for 20.
No kidding.
Yes, a lot of them poop out. They don't work right, whatever. But the majority of her sensors, she wears for 20 days, not 10. There's a way to restart them.
So, I did that with 5s.
Well, it's a little different on the 6. Like you have to, the transmitter piece that goes inside, if you take a test strip, and it can be a used test strip, and you work your way around and you pop that out, you leave the part that goes into your arm, you leave that part there. You just pop the little piece that goes inside. You know, it's 2 pieces. You know what I'm talking about?
I guess. Okay.
So you pop, if I had hers, an old one, I'd show you. So you've got that, the piece that you put on with the harpoon, the old harpoon, and you put that on. That piece stays in there. Then you take the transmitter and you pop it in, right? Okay. You pop just the transmitter out.
Oh, I see.
You leave the whole
thing. It still works. It still maintains the the numbers?
Yeah. I mean, no, it'll reset and start 10, but like, you know, I can go back and look at months on end in depth. So it's saved as a record, but it will start, and then you start it like a new sensor. So if you go in, go into some of the type one groups on Facebook, and you'll be able to find out about the shares, and you'll be able to find out about restarting. And then there's like some people, like we have a bunch of, we've sent in G5s and we have some G4s she got from someone else. And the lady also refurbishes, there's a couple people, you send the old stuff in, they'll send it out. But there are people that refurbish the transmitters. So instead of having to wait or pay a lot, you can get a refurbished one, but go on those groups.
That's great. Oh,
cool. Okay. I have tried popping out the transmitter, but I have had no success if it's still in me. I even have trouble getting it out when it's out of me. My fingers are coordinated enough to be able to manage that, I think.
Try messing with a used test strip, because that's how she gets it out.
Okay, I'll try that.
Give it a try. And keep us posted.
Thank you.
And just keep taking care of yourself. You need support in the situation you're in, because you're not getting it from the medical system, right?
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
I wanted to mention with the Hawthorne.
Yes, please.
So I was just reviewing some of my notes from different courses, and it is safe to take. In fact, it's saying that it should be taken for at least 3 months up to several years or longer. Yeah, it's also safe to use concurrently with allopathic drugs such as digoxin. Do I say that right? And may even allow a person to reduce the dose of this commonly prescribed but highly toxic medicine. With long-term use, it can safely help to strengthen and nourish the heart. It dilates the arteries. This results with continued use and a stronger, more efficient heartbeat. It acts as a powerful free radical scavenger. It can help steady the heartbeat. It has mild sedative activity, which may be useful where mild heart disease is combined with nervousness. And it can be combined with lavender or lemon balm.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn, for that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I wasn't able to find that.
On the Hawthorne.
I can't find much anymore.
There's one other thing about the Hawthorne. It comes in two forms, berries and the leaf and flower. They're both very, very good, and they both have separate benefits.
Yes.
So you want to look for both of them.
Okay. Thank you so much.
They're very mild. I don't know of any contraindications for the author at all with anything I can think of. It's the main ingredient in my heart tonic. And I call it a heart tonic. It's not just for bringing blood pressure down. It's just to strengthen the heart in general.
Mm-hmm.
But it's usually the main ingredient in every heart tonic I've ever seen. But you need both the berries and the leaf and flowers. So make sure you get some that's got both.
That's good to know. Okay.
And definitely take it. I can't see any reason not to take it long term. It works best as it goes along. It just slowly nourishes and strengthens the heart and brings it back to its youth.
That's awesome.
So thanks for looking that up, Lynn, because I can't think of anything negative.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you, Prajanya. Thank you, everybody, for your contributions to her.
Thank you, everybody.
So who else has questions or comments? Jenny.
Did you get my, I know I sent in two RSVPs. One of them had celebrate.
Let me see.
The first one I sent did not, because I didn't do it correctly.
Let me see what I got. Let's see. Let me move this over and I'll widen this. And I did get your text. I don't know if I responded, but I immediately sent it off to the team to fix.
Okay. I, for the very first time, phoned in And right when I phoned in, you gave out the correct.
The password.
Password, yeah.
Got it. Yeah, no, I mean for your, you texted me about the group.
Oh, yes.
And I checked my spreadsheet and I had it correct what we talked about, but it was, so we'll fix it. No big deal. It's easy. All right, so let's see. Why is this not showing me the third column here? All right, it's not. It cut out my column. Okay, I'll just have to open them. That was Parjanya. Okay, good. Let me go back.
That's okay. I can just ask.
Yeah, just ask me. I don't, yeah, yeah.
So I'm doing the oregano oil. This is the 5-day I'm in the protocol. Does anybody have any ideas on how do you take it without it burning? Because I put it in some olive oil. And then I've also tried it in water and then water and olive oil, but the concentrated oil, oregano oil is really hot.
Yeah. Even in the oil, it didn't do, did you put the oil on the salad or did you just try to drink the oil like that?
I just put it in a spoon. Like
a couple of other things you can do is you can get little capsules.
Okay.
And you can put it in there to take it. Or if you mix it in with, say you mix it in with olive oil, you can put it on some lettuce, you know, some salad and take it that way.
Yeah. Liquid coconut oil too.
Pardon?
Liquid coconut oil works well too. It's called fractionated.
Mm-hmm. Like that's, it's, you know what fractionated is? It's really MCT oil.
Okay. I have some
looking at what do they mean by fractionated? You know, they sell it, you know, at the various essential oil companies, but it's MCT oil because it doesn't harden. It's got the saturated component pulled out and it's, yeah.
And so, I just found it on Amazon. I'm sure you can get it other places.
Yep. You can get it in probably at the health food store.
You can also, you can use it on your skin as well if you use the carrier oil. And that should work well. It's just the smell. The smell of it.
You smell like a salad, but I bet you could do that if it doesn't burn your skin. You put enough oil and you could put it in the thin areas like you would apply like a hormone cream. I don't know how potent an antifungal, antibacterial, antimicrobial it would be if it were diffused. I think it would just make your house smell like you're making spaghetti sauce, but I don't know that it's going to kill off the bugs in your gut that way.
Okay. And you know, and then I'm worried I was considered putting it in salad. And then I thought, well, am I going to get all of it? You know,
well, you could just do it in a little bit, right? Just take a little bowl, like, you know, a tiny little bowl like that, a few pieces in, pour it over it, do it, lick the bowl. But
get a spatula, Okay. All right. Thank you.
And try it. And you can also do the, I have fresh oregano out. I was looking out there going, I should do something with this. I should tincture it. I should make it in oil. I just, like, it just grows like crazy in the yard. And sometimes I just go out and I just take a handful and eat it. So fresh oregano can be helpful as well.
Okay.
Yeah. Very helpful, actually. Yeah. That would be fun. You can make a little soup. With oregano and thyme and rosemary.
And one of the celebrations was I made the basic buckwheat. buckwheat bread recipe. And I added garlic, olives, and rosemary, and it was delicious.
Oh, yum.
Yeah.
Yum.
That was the other thing that I was going to say.
Did you make enough to keep so that you have it available when you get the craving for that? Or, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I made one recipe and it comes out to be almost a completely fills a freezer bag, a gallon freezer bag. And I cut them in the piece. I do it round and cut them in the pizza size kind of.
Oh, nice.
But the buckwheat, I love just the plain recipe, how it just kind of takes on whatever flavor, like, you add to it.
Yep.
Whereas I was craving that, you know, the bread when you dunk it in fresh garlic and oil and Italian spices, I was craving that. And it really worked. I love it. It's turned out
great. That's awesome. It sounds delicious. Thank you for sharing that. That's awesome.
So that was it.
Cool. Who else wants to share or ask, or Heather?
Hi, I had a question. I guess it didn't make it all the way to you, but I was really appreciating this past year, all of the things that I changed around to be healthier, and systematically over the year, I was just thinking back on how many toxic things I had cleared out and really hadn't realized it until I stopped to think about it. So that was one of my successes. Looking forward to the one-on-one coaching, and can you just outline what the next steps are? I've submitted my health and habits questionnaire, but haven't heard anything since then. I didn't know if that was going to start in the beginning of September or how that
starts. Whenever you start. I mean, that can start anytime. So you've submitted that. That should be, I will ask because I don't know. I've been involved in setting it up.
She's working with Lisa.
She's working with Lisa, yeah. So I don't know, but I will make a note to ask Summer about that.
Okay. I didn't know if I should be doing something, and because I hadn't heard anything back, and that was a while ago.
Yeah, I think one of the things they'll do is they'll send you the kits for the testing, and but you don't test, you don't. What I keep telling people who've signed up for anything like that is you're going to get the kits, but don't just go run them until you met, you know, and you decide when you need them, right? Especially somebody who just did a Dutch test. You don't need another one. Let's look at your protocol. Let's look at what you're doing. And then create the time to redo it. So you'll get the kit. Yeah. I think that's the next step, but there should be reaching out to you if you filled that out to say, upload your labs, like your blood chem labs. And then, yeah, you should be able to get an email that says sign up for sessions.
Okay. So I've kept everything current in my master tracker, and the functional health report just got run. And
okay.
I think it was July when my coach did that. That was Patty. I see quite a bit of my group here tonight. Hello, everybody. This is our last hurrah.
Yeah. Okay, I'll check into that, and we'll
thank make you. Sure
that happens. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. It's been a joy to watch you. Like, you just, you're like a sponge. Take it on and learn and, you know, implement, and it's awesome. I love watching that.
And my friend Christine is going to, she's applying to do NEPT. And so we are going to set up a weekly call and hash together what she's learning. Oh, and cool. I'm going to try to dovetail it with my ERC stuff so that I can kind of go back through some of that. And yeah. I told her if she has to have a guinea pig, I can be her guinea pig.
Yeah, she will have to have a guinea pig a lot. So what's her last name so I can look out for it?
Quinn, Christine Quinn. And she's the one that's in Maui, always is sitting in the banana grove during the sweet spot. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, we both love learning. We're learning geeks. And so she was really excited about going deeper. I said, okay, you can take the lead for a while.
Actually, Christine's on the calendar for a call next week.
Oh, great.
Yes.
Yay.
Yes.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah.
So.
I love, you know, inviting new people in and getting, so we can change this world. You know, there's more and more practitioners out there that are just, here's your drug, done, next, here, next, drug. And, you know, the thing is, and this, it's a sad part about the way the system is, but is that if they do that and there's a drug-drug interaction and somebody dies, that's just considered par for the course. It's not something that they can get held responsible for. And it's, I think it's very sad. And I think that practitioners need to be trained in such a way that they're taking ownership, but that they're excited about learning things that could actually get their people better. Because I would feel very uncomfortable if this people were coming back to me for their annuals or 6 months every year, year after year, you know, they're still alive. They're still taking the drugs and I get to adjust the dose of the drugs, but I never see them thrive. I never see them thrive. I just would see them, and I would be discouraged to be in a job like that. It would be very discouraging because I like to see when people come and say, hey, look, I did this and this happened. And, you know, And yeah, everybody does it at their own pace and everybody implements, but it's knowing, it's who said it earlier about the, it's making empowered choices, making informed choices. And if you're not informed, it's hard to make choices that are going to be congruent with taking care of yourself. So way to go, Heather. Yay. Thank you. Thank you. Who else? You guys are quiet. I want to hear from you. I see Annie and Anya in the background and Paula, we talked to before. Who else wants to say? Judy, what do you have to say?
There, let me unmute.
There you
go. I'm just perking along here. Doing better about getting green smoothies and things in, but I'm still not too adherent to program. Had a grocery delivery and had them bring me a can of Pringles.
Uh-oh. So what prompted that? I really want to help you delve into that. You clearly want to be healthier, right? Because you're here and you wrote a check or whatever, signed a credit card receipt that said, you know, I'm investing in myself.
Yeah.
What was going on? I've been pretty, the Pringles.
I crave salty and spicy. Mm-hmm. I've got to find a way to get that other than that. I've been thinking, get myself a dehydrator. And with the mandolin, I can cut very fine slices of veggies or something and put spices on them.
Exactly.
And maybe I can, you know, and dehydrate those and make something that's crunchy and salt, you know, crunchy and spicy and not necessarily salty.
Yes, which is better, cause crunchy and spicy, because a lot of those spices are loaded with good nutrients. So here's what I can recommend until then, because there's a lot of steps involved with, you got to order the dehydrator, you've got to pull out recipes, you've got to play with it. There are places you can order some of that stuff online. There are.
Yeah, somebody just said, Lynn Rose just said kale chips rock. Kale and chips. I tried to make kale chips and they were not good.
Buy them. Just buy them.
I will try buying them.
Yeah. Buy them. You go online, there's places like, where do I order some of that from? Chocola Tree, C-H-O-C-O-L-A Tree. They have amazing stuff. They have these things called nori nachos, cayenne and chipotle nori nachos. And they're like little pieces of nori with this spicy stuff that's, and you crunch on them. Oh my God. They are delightful.
Oh, I love the seaweed snacks.
The seaweed snacks.
Pieces of nori when they're spiced, when you get the ones,
there's the cayenne ones. I forget the brand of it, but there's one brand and they have, oh yeah, I was buying cases of them and sending to my son in college. And then his friends would come in and he'd say, they're going to think I'm weird. And they go, I'm kind of out of those. Well, what do you mean they're out of them? Well, my friends like them. So I've been sharing, like, okay. And what happened to the weird thing? Right? They taste good, right? I recommended to a person in another program, and was into bread and noodles. And so I said, go to Chocola Tree and order their onion bread. And it's not crunchy, but you can crunch it up. But they have, it's more like bread consistency. So he went and ordered that stuff. And he discovered, like, he ordered one or two little packages of it, but discovered that they had a 5-pound or 20-pound, some kind of huge bulk bag of it that costs more, but the shipping was way less. And now he always has that bread on hand. Right. So there are ways.
Thanks for the link. That.
And there are places that do kale chips. What's his name? There's a guy that has them. He has one called Vampire Kale Chips. Right. So these are going to be good. I make this recipe.
I've seen a lot of them.
There's so many, but that's going to take you. So I don't want you to have an excuse. I want you to just go let your fingers do the walking. Go online, look up kale chips, look up the veggie crisps. I even found sauerkraut, sauerkraut crackers. And then there's the others at Chocola Tree. They have a crunchy seed cracker that has, I think it's with chia and sesame and sunflower, and it's really, really like a hearty crunchy. And when you do get your dehydrator, the simplest way to make Pringles is soak chia seeds and then put your spices in it and then put it on the tray. And but you use a little quarter cup or eighth of a cup to make them little rounds. And the cool part about it is as they dry, they go like this, like Pringles. Right? So I was at a dinner once and I was talking to people about healthy food and they were talking about kids. And I said, oh yeah, I should give you my chia Pringles recipe. You could have heard a pin drop at the table. Everybody stopped their conversation and said, chia Pringles? Tell me more. How do I make chia Pringles, right? So you can do that. Like, yeah, it'll cost you more. Yeah, maybe, you know, you can use the, oh, they're not going to be as healthy as if I make it myself. Who cares? They're healthier than Pringles, right?
Lynn's giving us all these links.
And, oh, good. And order a bunch of different, a variety of stuff. So you find out what you like, and then you can go back and order them, a lot of them when you finish with that. I have a dehydrator. I know how to make stuff. And periodically I just go and I buy a bunch of that stuff. Cause not right now I don't need to, because I have a freezer full of big pizza crusts, like chia flax pizza crusts. And when I get that urge, I just take it out. I make my salad on top of my pizza crust, put some cashew cheese and crunch, and I have a couple of days' meals worth there.
Chia Pringles and the like. There you go. There's a vital kitchen topic.
Chia Pringles. I could do that, and I could just make
healthy junk variety. Food.
Healthy junk food. Yeah.
Have a whole vital on that.
I like it. Healthy junk food. Okay, I'm going to write that down.
And can I just say, Judy, I so respect your honesty. I just so respect that. It would have been so easy not to share that little bit of information, which is probably what I would have done. Like, we'll just look the other way at this Pringles.
And I ordered kale and I ordered carrots and Pringles.
Well, I did order good stuff. I've got coleslaw mix and I've got angel hair cabbage shred, mm-hmm. and some other good veggies. In spite of the fact that I get a CSA box every couple of weeks, you know. Mm-hmm. So I do have good stuff. You just
gave in to
tend to eat the other stuff first.
Trick is you eat the good stuff first, because then you don't have as much room, and then maybe you have one or two of the Pringles and you save the rest for another night. So that's one way around it. The other thing, when you get it, look into the Dried and Gone to Heaven book. For the bird's nest. There's bird's nests. Has everybody ever made the bird's nests? It's basically you shred up like zucchini or what, but thinly shred like in your food processor. And then you put kind of really yummy sauce kind of thing that's going to harden on there. And then you stick them in the dehydrator. And they look like bird's nests when they come out. And they really crunch and they're really, really, really good.
I actually think I have a hard copy of that book.
Yeah, you should. We sent you one. Yeah.
Yeah. If I can find it.
It's in a box.
I'm still,
but if not,
I'm still recovering from the move.
The move.
The mover,
yeah.
Did not put things
you
back.
You could be recovering from a move like that for years, literally. So it's just, you have it online. So go on the site and get that.
I probably already have a PDF saved here on the iPad.
Yeah, I bet you do. And it's easier to find. You can just type in bird's nest and you'll find it.
Okay.
Okay. And anybody else that likes that crunch. And there's another one in there, or it's on the blog. It's somewhere. I'm pretty sure it's in there. And it's basically zucchini, but what you do is you use the spiralizer, but not with the spiral. It has it's a thin, like a ribbon, and you spiralize it into the ribbons. And then the sauce for that was like a friend of mine made up the recipe and it was so good. It was like a cashew mac cheese with onions and garlic and all kinds of stuff in it. And then you mush it all together. And then I literally made that for one of our potlucks and I took it out and I had it on the tray and I was about to put it in. It's like 15 minutes before we started eating. Went back to the tray to take it and put it on the plate. It was almost gone because people kept coming over and like, oh my God, these are so good. Oh my God, these are so good. Eggplant bacon is another one.
Okay.
Eggplant bacon. You just get your eggplant and you thinly slice it. With the mandolin is fine. You season it and then you put it in there and it crunches like way down. That's another one. I made one eggplant for a potluck and it was gone before I could serve it because everybody kept sneaking it. So those things will satisfy those cravings.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you, Judy. I'll miss you.
Yeah.
Stay in touch with the stay in the vital community and come to the calls.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
I do still plan to be, you know, working my way through things and going through all the material again.
Good.
It's just financially right now. Mm-hmm. Be a little tough.
Yeah.
Didn't expect to have to pay a fortune for the
mold rehab.
Repairing things.
Yeah.
Around the house. So, anyway.
Well, reach out if you're going, I'm really going off track. You can always sign up for some private coaching calls. We have packages. So, yeah.
All righty.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Who else? Jules, haven't heard from you.
Can you hear me now?
I can. Hi.
Good. Before I talk about me, I want to say that what not to do. I took some oregano oil and put only one drop in my sinus irrigation.
Oh, ow.
Don't do that.
Don't do it.
I thought I was going to die.
Oh,
I was told by a doctor to do that. He does it all the time, but I'm not as hardy as he is. So.
You know, it's interesting because the thing about it is it's oil and it's water. So it's not like it's going to get homogenized in there. I wonder if you actually put it in the blender and blended it up, if it could, and then you quickly did it. But you're just going to have that drop of oregano oil sitting on top of the water, and it's going to go in there, and it's ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I just got a hit. So.
Oh.
I think I'm going to try ozone. It's a safer bet. Won't hurt as much. So.
Diana knows all about ozone. Yeah, you can put ozone in every orifice on your body.
Diana gave me the phone number or email, I can't remember, of somebody that she uses that coaches her. So I'm gonna contact that person. But I would like to continue in the vital community. And do we get an email to sign up for that, or how does that work?
I will make a note to make sure. You're supposed to get an email.
Okay.
But if you just go to your membership goes to the end of this month. So just go to vitalhealthcommunity.com.
Well, I used to be in it before I did the ERC, and they have me, I looked online and I'm signed up to be renewed in January. So okay. I'm not sure if I should wait till January or I don't know.
Yeah. Wait until January. You're on an annual membership that's due to renew in January.
Yes.
Yeah, because it might be that they just moved you out when you got this as a bonus. You got moved out the extra 6 months because you still had 6 months left on your year. That's probably what happened.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure.
Yeah. So once it ends, then you'll get a notice that says, "Hey, your vital thing is about to end. You can either continue." Usually it's set up to just automatically continue, but we send you multiple emails that say, hey, if you don't want to continue, click here and you'll be canceled out.
Yeah, what happened was I was in it, and then I joined ERC, and then last January, he charged me $200, and I told him I'm already in it. And so he credited me, but I wasn't sure what would happen, if it would continue after I left or...
If you looked into your did you look into your back, you said you looked into the back end and it said it went till January 2021.
Well, it didn't say that it went, it just said that in January 2021 it would that's my renewal date for it.
I'll ask Scott about that.
Yeah, so I'm not sure about that. Okay, but anyway, I am very sure I'm living in a house with mold, and everything I do is certainly disrupting my sleep. And so I need to move. And I don't know, I'm not quite sure how to go about that, but there are people that are involved in that that can help me. The other thing is, I'm having a real problem with sleep, and it's a behavioral issue with my dog. I made the mistake when I wake up in the morning to give her wet food to transition, and now she keeps waking me up because she wants wet food. And once I'm up and put her out, I can't go back to sleep. Yeah. And I only got like 3 hours sleep last night, and she does that every night. So the last couple of nights, I didn't give her anything, any food when she came back in. And so I'm going to hope it's a behavioral thing.
And then
she'll learn to wait until later in the day. Or
yeah.
I don't know if anyone
has
any ideas.
Can you just put her out? Like, is there a way to ignore her? Or does she just keep at you till you...
She keeps at me. And I'm afraid if she'll just go to the bathroom, I don't want to not put her out.
Yeah.
But she can last longer than 3 hours. I know that much.
Yeah, unless she's old, or she certainly doesn't have a prostate problem if she's a she. So,
no.
I mean, sometimes they
she's 10 years old. I don't think she's, she's not, she's pretty healthy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something you've got, because you need the sleep. And mold in the environment can certainly keep you from sleeping. Lynn Rose could probably talk to that a bit, but certainly those mycotoxins in your environment can be a problem. The problem with moving, if it is, it depends on how bad it is and how much it's permeated. It can permeate into anything that's, you know, an absorbable surface. So sometimes people end up getting rid of their couches and their clothes, and right, you may have to get rid of a lot of stuff.
Papers
and books and...
Books.
What's that? Yep. Books.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could I use ozone on things to save some of my objects? Or
so? Yes, you say you can use ozone. Lynn Rose, can you unmute yourself and let's hear from your brilliance here? Because I know you've done a lot of research in this area.
I didn't say that, but I mean, ozone has a good effect on, you know, killing things like that. So. I would say it's probably as good as most of the things they have that, you know, the sprays they have for the room, or they have the candles that supposedly burn, but you still have to get rid of the source. I mean, that's for any errant air, but you've got to get rid of anything that's contaminated. I don't know that ozone would do much with fabric because it would have to stay in it all the time, and you can't stay in it all the time. Unless you bag your house and keep it ozonated for a while, I mean, you can't really rely on that. But if you were to bag things up in an ozone bag or something, you know, you might be able to salvage some stuff like that. But in general, it's difficult.
How would you know then if, like, certain clothing or draperies or furniture, is there a way to test the surfaces of it? Or how would you know if it's contaminated?
The test plates that they send you, you know, you can put some out for the ambient air. And then they say you can also rub it up against, you know, a fabric or whatever and test it that way too.
But
it's tedious to do that. And, you know, then you let it grow for 3 days, or in some cases you can send it off and they can tell you what's growing, which is the best way to do it.
Yeah. And going to the source is important. Like, is it a bathroom? Is it a pipe that's burst? Is it in the
leak? You need to fix it, you know, and eliminate what damage it's done.
Yeah,
meanwhile, right. As long as it's there, it's going to continue to make you ill.
Right.
Yeah, it's not my house, though, so I don't have a lot of control over that.
Makes it hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
you know, you could get the candles and sprays and cleaners and things like that to lessen it, and use thieves, too, would I think is good. Mm-hmm. But and the ozone. But, again, you're sinking ship. You know, you've got to...
Right. But in the meantime, while she's waiting, and she mentioned at the beginning that she was looking into moving out, in the meantime, while you're waiting to do all that, you want to minimize your exposure.
And then, you know, using detox things, you know, the zeolites and sauna, if you can go anywhere where there's a sauna and things mm-hmm. like that, just to kind of lessen your burden.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And it can affect every, I mean, it affects your neurotransmitters, it affects your detox pathways, your gut, it affects everything. Those toxins are big. I mean, you could see how, would you say like the GPL detox panel, would that give, it has like 172 different toxins in it. Would that show, I know it shows some of the mycotoxins.
They have a separate mycotoxin.
Oh, they do?
But it only measures like 9 different ones, which were the primary ones that they usually run into.
Yeah.
So you can do that. I've done
that. The thing about that is it would confirm what she already suspects if it's positive. And if it's negative, it just leaves you with, well, maybe there's something still, you know what I mean? You don't get a definitive answer that way.
If you have suspicions, then, you know, just treat it like you have
Treat it like it's a positive. Yeah.
Yeah. Depending on where you live, you know, certain areas are more prone to it. I mean, like if you live in the Houston area, you have mold.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff.
Right. And then you just deal with it. And it depends on how bad it is and how sensitive you are, how susceptible you are to the sensitivity to it. I mean, it's not something you can avoid. It's just how bad is it and how much is it affecting your system?
Another thing, too, is that usually if you become sensitive in one thing, you become sensitive in others. So chemicals and EMFs, all those things impact each other. So if you become sensitive in one, you can become more sensitive to the other and more prone to sensitivities. Mm-hmm. So it's a spiral downward if you don't catch it.
Yeah. Right. And my biggest thing, people talk about detox all the time. Step one is reduce the toxic load. You always have to reduce the toxic load. I don't care what detox powders or what homeopathics you use. If you sit in the muck, you're going to be doing this vicious cycle thing. And it's really important to reduce the toxic.
One of my clients asked me, well, when can I stop doing the detox? I said, well, as long as you breathe, you need to detox.
So there you go. The alternative is grim, as they say.
Pretty grim. Yeah.
Very grim. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good. Anything else we can help you with, Jules?
I only got 3 hours sleep last night. So oh. I'm
you got one
more. I'm not
one less than I did. I got 4. I thought I was low. So I feel oh. I feel for you. Yeah. You gotta get
but 4 is terrible too. Yeah.
Does your dog okay, just to kind of troubleshoot that, what time does the dog usually wake you up?
7-ish, 6:30, 7, something like that.
Okay,
and, so I went to bed late.
Sleep. I was just gonna say it's not just the dog. That's what I was.
Well,
at, right. It's
the dog
involuntary
didn't let me
and involuntary sleep issues. I thought you were gonna say 2, and then you couldn't get back to sleep. Then I can see why you're getting sleep deprived. But if doggy doesn't wake you up till 7, you can easily go to bed by midnight and get 7 hours of sleep.
That's very I have trouble falling asleep. So I often go to bed at 1:30 or 2. And I do put the dog out when I, right before I go to bed. But the dog is not completely the issue.
No,
I have my own sleep issues.
So. Yeah. And so, you know, there's a lot of things that can interfere with you being able to fall asleep, right? High levels of cortisol. But the thing is, if you keep going to bed late, the cortisol is going to get in a rhythm of being high later. So mm-hmm. you need to break the cycle, even if you don't fall asleep. Just go to bed with the idea, oh, this feels so good. It just feels good to lay down. Not with like, oh, I got to fall asleep, right? And you can approach sleep in a different way. And it's much different, mm-hmm. right? So I would get in bed earlier.
I'll do that. I have to say I've worked nights for years, and now that I'm not working, I'm used to that time, but I also fight sleep because I don't like laying there and not falling asleep. So I'll sit and read or do something. I know I'm not supposed to be on the computer, but I'll listen to YouTube videos or something. And it's uncomfortable to lay there and not fall asleep.
So when you lay there and listen to YouTube videos, you are shutting off your melatonin production. Right. And that's going to be harder. Melatonin hormone.
I'm not watching it, I'm just listening.
Well, if you're just listening and you're not watching, probably not. I mean, because it's not, as long as you're in a dark room, but you're still stimulating your brain.
That's right? True.
So if you're going to listen to something, maybe you listen to soothing music or a meditation tape that's bringing you into that. But I think something, it's kind of like hunger. I'm just going to put it out there. It's kind of like hunger. You have to just live with the discomfort and not feel like, oh, I have to fall asleep. So it's a retraining, right? Mm-hmm. For me, I'll just lay there and go, oh, it just feels so good to lay down. Right? Mm-hmm. And enjoy it, even if you don't sleep. If I wake up early, I can easily fall asleep. My husband can't. But he like, oh, he's there, gets agitated. I'm like, so just lay there. And just think, oh, I don't have to get up. I could just lay here. And if you lay there long enough, usually you do fall asleep. But a lot of it is that chatter, which produces that stress response in your brain, right? So there is a reprogramming. Heart math is delightful for that. Doing something that gets you into the heart rate variability, that nice, smooth sine wave heart rate variability right before bed. Phenomenal, right? Hmm. I use a Muse. I don't use it at night anymore. I used to do it at night. Now I do it in the day because if I do it at night, I sometimes forget. So I do it in the morning, but that could be done at night as well. Just a meditation, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I want to thank you because I've heard you say the discomfort part about food. And I can mentally, I can say, okay, just drink some water, this part of the process. But I've never thought of it in terms of sleep because I really do fight sleep and I fight going to bed.
I hear you on that. It's a big waste of time, isn't it? You're unconscious. You can't do anything.
Yes.
but what's happening while you sleep, you can listen to it on audio while you can't fall asleep, while we sleep. It's a great audio book on Audible. And start to listen to it. And it really changed my attitude about sleep. Mm. Really did. Because it's like he starts it off like that. Like, why do we do this stupid thing, right? But all animals do it. So there must be some benefit to it. Like we can't defend ourselves. We can't eat. We can't solve problems. We can't do anything. But it's a really good thing to listen to because it talks about a lot of the benefits. And it's voluntary versus involuntary insomnia, really. But sometimes the voluntary insomnia leads us to a state of biochemical soup that creates an involuntary. Because mm-hmm. we're staying up and we're seeing this and we're staying up. And after a while, we reprogram the brain and then it forgets that it's supposed to go to sleep. If it's chatter that's going on, you know, find some herbs, go to the sleep chapters. We have plenty of sleep resources. And mm-hmm. I love passion flower. That's one that just like shuts that noisy brain down, but it may be something different. Magnolia, nice one for calming down the chatter, lowering the cortisol, and it also helps bring blood sugar in balance.
Hmm. Okay, well, good. Thank you so much. I'll try that.
Awesome. You're welcome. And Lynn Rose says she had a refugee here the past two nights who chattered to me until 2 a.m., so yeah. That's tough.
I have a couple of suggestions.
Yes, please.
I just learned recently that in order to reset your circadian rhythm, I have trouble getting myself into bed. And I know how important it is. But in order to physically reset your circadian rhythm, the moment you open your eyes and take a pee, as soon as you can get outside, whether there's sun or not, but especially if there's sun, if you can, you know, expose yourself to that sun for 10 minutes.
Yeah, even five. But, yeah, I mean, just to make it bite-sized pieces. Yep.
And you don't have to be going for a long walk. You can just be out with your feet in the grass or, you know, grounding at the same time. I mean, it's delicious. It feels so good. Mm-hmm. I have a hard time doing that too, but it did help me quite a bit in terms of re-regulating my circadian rhythm. So that's helpful.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. And it helps, you know, helps that circadian rhythm. It helps the adrenals, you know, the whole cortisol, melatonin cycle, and your body will get re-regulated when you're consistent with it.
I was listening to something the other day too, that might be a factor. I haven't heard any research on it or not, but all these temperature thermometers they're using, the laser thermometers, they're aiming it right at your pineal gland. And I'm just wondering if that isn't impacting, because they're not doing it correctly anyway, but I've heard.
Are they doing that all over the place? Are you out and about and getting?
That's where, if you go into places where they're taking your temperature, that's usually what they're using.
They use that. So don't let them
do it on the wrist.
Do it there, have them do it on your wrist, exactly.
So
what part of your wrist would they do it on?
Where your pulse is.
Your pulse is, okay. Yeah, I actually had read that also.
Yeah,
it's just not to let them do that. Yeah,
go like this.
Yeah. Do that.
Ching, they don't have to change their positioning. Just go like this.
Get some Xena bracelets or something.
Yeah.
I didn't know
how prevalent that was. I literally haven't left my neighborhood except to go to the Wildflower Center since March 3rd.
Wow. Do you feel cabin fever or anything?
No, because I go out to the waterfall.
Not going out or
hiking trails in my neighborhood, but I haven't. The only time I've actually been in a car since then was when we went to the Wildflower Center in June. And other than that, I'm in. My husband does all the grocery shopping. I'm very lucky, and I don't think I've actually driven. I may forget how. I don't think I've actually driven anywhere since January. Yeah. He drove me to the polls on election day here, the primary, which was, I think, March 3rd. So I don't even know. I'm, you know what? And the reason I don't, like, it's like, I don't even know what, I want to live in my bubble of life is all the same. Nothing's changed. And for me being home, the thing that's changed is me not going on trips. Cause usually I'd either be home or I'd be going to the airport, home or going to the airport. So I can live in my little bubble that, you know, everything's good. I get to my socialization here. I get to be the introvert. I'm an introvert extrovert. So I get to be the introvert when I leave my day, and I can just, I don't have to go out. I don't have to go to the store. I don't have to go anywhere. I kind of like it. My husband said my passport expired last week, and he's been bugging me for 3 weeks to go down to get my passport picture taken. I said, why? I'm not going anywhere. Well, nobody's going to let us in for who knows how long. I'm not going anywhere.
Rita Marie, did you know that in October the law changes for flying? And you have to have your passport to fly within the United States.
Oh, even within the U.S.
Unless you have a
augmented
driver's license.
Yeah.
That real ID thing.
Did he pay you to say that?
It's true, though. It is true.
So one of these days, I've just been so busy. One of these Saturdays, I'll get up and I'll go with him and we'll go get a picture. I said, can't you just put me, I have a white screen back there behind this thing. I have a white screen. Just stand me in front of the white screen and take my picture and we'll crop it to whatever they say. And do I really have to go?
And I think too that they have, I used an express service last year. And if your passport's only expired so many months, you can send it to the express service.
I think it's just in a week. Because he's been bugging me since he said, it's expiring soon. And then I heard, it's expired. Great. You keep talking to me, you're going to be expired. Leave me alone. There's a screen like that, just like that. We can look up what the size recommendations are. We can take the freaking picture against the wall. And then I don't have to go spend $7 to go get my passport picture taken.
Hey, if you get the passport now, when things open up, you'll be ready to go.
I'll be ready to go. Yeah. I'll go down to a beach in Mexico or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds good.
I want a beach so bad. I dream about beaches and being in my backyard. I have a pool, and I'm very lucky that I have a pool. And I just kind of pretend, you know, the wave. Where's the wave? Oh, I'm on the bay. I forgot I'm on the bay. Okay. No wave.
I have one more suggestion for sleep. because I'm a detective, I realized that for me, if I go to bed at 1, which I have to do a lot, but if I go to bed at 1 or later, more than likely I will have more trouble falling asleep. Whereas if I go to bed earlier, like 11, I'm usually out in 5 minutes. But so if I drag myself into bed late and then I'm awake for 1 to 3 hours, I just use that time to meditate. Mm-hmm. And just meditating for that time, you know, I'm so grateful that I get to do it, because I wouldn't be sitting for 3 hours to meditate. So I'm really grateful that I get that experience. And if I do remember to meditate, I wake up feeling as if I'd slept the whole time.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, they say meditation, an hour of meditation is like equivalent of 4 hours of sleep.
I mean, it's true. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, and Jules, you're having the feeling that because you're not tired, you're waiting later. And we have somebody else in the program who like does that until 6 a.m. because she's not tired. And then she waits until she's so exhausted, she collapses and just like,
oh, God.
Yeah, I know. Painful.
I have done that. I've stayed up until 5 or 6, not on purpose. It's just that I'm not tired.
And well, I've done that more times than I will admit. I mean, I remember sitting at a computer and writing and sitting there and going, why is it getting light out? Like, it's 6 a.m. I think I should go to bed. But the first time that happened, I'm just like going along, didn't realize how late it was, wasn't getting tired. I was getting all this work done. And then I'm like, it's getting light out. Like, that doesn't make sense. It's supposed to be dark. Yeah, but I think that's the voluntary part of it. And then there's the involuntary. And if you haven't checked it out, we had a month free service at the Brain Time. Have you tried that one? Go to drritamarie.com/braintime. They'll give you a free month, and you put the headphones in and it plays the sound. You don't necessarily play it when you're going to bed. You can play it like a few hours before bed. You play it in the morning and twice a day for 5 minutes, and it reprograms your brain. We had a talk with him too. It's on, you know, one of the recording pages.
Yeah. No, I haven't tried that. I had talked to my coaches and they had both told me that they didn't know if it would help me, because I've had a couple of car accidents and had seizures, and they thought I needed something like hyperbaric oxygen or something.
You might, but it's worth a try. It's free. And he specializes in brain trauma. That's what he does. Yeah. He works with people post-traumatic, and this is how he developed this, working on people who have had brain trauma. So it's certainly worth a try. And he said, I give you a month free, because if it's not working in a month, it's not going to work. So I'm not going to pay for it. And then at the end of the month, if it's working, you're going to want to pay for it.
That's true.
Right? You'll pay anything for it. And it's like $30 a month. You know, it's not unreasonable. Right. Okay.
If it would be okay if you have had seizures, because there are some of those brain things like brain tap, where if you have, or you're prone to seizures, they don't suggest that you use it.
Yeah, that's a good point. And you can call them up. When you get to the site, just, they have a customer support and they're very responsive and they'll let you know for sure.
Okay.
Great. Who else has them? Who haven't I heard from? I haven't heard from Diana or Annie or Anya or Marilyn. Oh, Marilyn joined us. So who wants to say hi? And Anya
I'll say hi.
Yeah, where are she?
Say hi. I just want to say hi to everybody.
Hi.
I just want to say hi to everybody. I've enjoyed our time together. And keep me in your thoughts and prayers. Love you all.
We love you.
Keep plugging away.
Yes. Yes. Keep it going. Thank you. Marilyn, Annie, Anya, you have anything to say?
Oh, Marilyn, it's good to see you. Long time no see.
Yeah. Yeah, the deep sleep in the early hours, Lynn Rose says it, which is true. I find that, well, in the early, you mean early morning hours, or you mind that meaning the early part of the sleep? So what I find is if I've gone just a short amount of time sleeping, I've gone to bed late and I only get 3 or 4 hours of sleep, my deep sleep is off the charts. My REM is the pits, right? Because I check it on the Oura Ring. But my deep sleep, I could have 2 hours of deep sleep out of four, right? Yeah. So I don't find that I lose the deep sleep, you know, when I don't go to bed at that hour, but maybe it's early part of the sleep cycle for me.
Yeah. And they usually want you to get like 25% in deep and 25 in REM. So most people don't. But.
Yeah. And I don't, I get at least 25 in deep all the time. I almost never, but if I have a short night of sleep, my REM suffers. Suffers. So,
and also you need to have the complete cycle, because if you don't have a complete cycle, it doesn't count,
right?
So.
And that's what we do, that we talk about that in the sleep module. Oh. And yeah absolutely. Yeah, so I like it, and a lot of times when I go to bed late and I get up a short, I just wake up. Like this morning I had my alarm set for 8:30 because I had an appointment at 9 and I was cutting it close, but I woke up at 7:30. So I wasn't going to go back to sleep because I knew I didn't have enough sleep to get a full cycle. So I just figured I'd meditate and, you know, do that kind of stuff. Okay. Anybody else? Marilyn, you want to say hi? Annie, you want to say hi?
I'll say hi.
All right.
I'm driving.
You're usually driving. Are you driving? Did you start your cross country yet?
No, Saturday. So let's see. It was fires and hurricanes this time. So I'm like, I don't know. I think it's safer here than there. I mean, I would be in the thick of, you know, Hurricane Laura right now, I think.
Right.
So,
well, you'd be going the southern route. So I was looking at the map and it looked like it was coming in across Houston and then going up north.
Yeah. So, so everything is kind of interesting. Yesterday I went up to UCSF. I got a phone call saying, hey, are you coming to your appointment? I didn't even know I had one because I wasn't expecting to be in town. Mm. So it was interesting. It was blood work for genetic counseling, like 110 different cancer markers. And I said, well, what about the clotting? I'm like, well, we don't really do that. I said, well, you're going to need to do, they want to put me on tamoxifen. And I'm like, you know, so this is kind of my undercover research, like journalistic, you know, it's fascinating because I did meet the surgeon. She showed up eventually and she's like, okay, so when we do your surgery, it's not even an option. This is just Western Med. And then like, okay, well, after your surgery, they've already made an appointment for me with the plastic surgeon. And I did get the results from my MRI, the second one, and they said basically my left breast is full of cancer, that it's there's a tumor that's 1.4 centimeters, but all the other tissue is just different. And the surgeon feels that it's all cancer, but it's very slow growth. And she wants to give me 3 months and come back for another MRI. And they're going to come up with a protocol once all this blood work's done to throw me on tamoxifen, but I'm not going to be in town to take it. So I'm going to get to the boat and do all the stuff that Jeff and I have talked about and with you and Lisa and Camille, and I'm going to be good. Like, I feel like pretty much the best ever right now, like, ironically. Mm-hmm. But that's interesting about the whole sleep thing, because I think the fires, I wake up, like around 4:30, I think the smoke kind of hits my brain and it's like, danger, mm-hmm. danger, Will Rogers, right? And I'm like up, and then I'm not back. And so I feel like, oh, I'm dragging now. But aside from that, like, I physically feel really good and I forget that this is like happening, right? I have like so much like drive and motivation for so many different things. I like, oh, right, you really need to handle this right now. So that's kind of my little mantra, is to not forget and keep that in the focus in a super positive way, because I honestly don't think it's a bad thing. It's just my giant wake the heck up.
Wake up and start taking care of yourself.
Yeah. So, I mean, I am super thankful for that, and in a really odd way. And I've heard other people in the cancer realm mention that in their journey. And I'm like, yeah, I totally understand it. You would not think that, but I'm in that like total brain, you know, space for sure. Yeah. And I'm also awaiting that 24-hour urine hormone, full hormone panel. So that's tomorrow or Monday, I'll have those results.
Oh, yeah. You did that like 3-4 weeks ago. So it'll
yeah, it takes like 21 business days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I'll be curious to see what, I think you're on my calendar next week, but I would like to see what those results come out to be.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting. And then, yeah, in about a week, I should be at the boat. And, okay, this is super fascinating, off topic, but there was an article that came out saying that Costa Rica will open its doors September 1 to 6 states, one of which is Vermont. It's Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey. Well, I helped a friend with a bridge loan to acquire some property in Vermont. And so I'm on the title and her mail stop, and she just put the cable in my name. So I'm going to fly up there and go get a driver's license.
Oh, wow.
And then I can get to Costa Rica. So I'm just going to put it in my back pocket. And if I, you know, like, whatever. Like, I, how many ways can Annie try? That's what I want to know. Nope, not yet. So, you know, if it works, it works.
Will they take away your California license to get a Vermont license?
They will, but a girlfriend who moved to Arizona for a bit, she said when she moved back to California, they just reinitiated her number. It didn't go to somebody else. It was hers again. So I don't own property in California anymore. And so I don't mind like just shifting to Vermont if that's my access during this crazy COVID thing, and I just keep it there for a year or two and I'm back and forth, you know, like why not? It's an experiment. If I'm beating the system, I'm all for it.
And does that count like boat port? So as your boat, it doesn't matter where your boat originated from? If your boat originated from Florida?
So I have that, yeah, in a Delaware LLC and, you know, and it'll be parked down somewhere in the Caribbean as a healthy charter, eco charter someday, like, you know, just teaching wellness from that. And so it's, who knows? I don't know where its home is going to be. It really just depends where the world goes in this next year. You know, the goal is to turn it into a business and have it pay for itself at the very minimal. And it would be great if it paid for college too. So, you know, yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, you're leaving on Saturday to drive to Florida, or are you going to drive to Vermont now?
Yeah. So no. I'm going to, I can fly to Boston for $56 one way. Hmm. So, I'm going to get settled on the boat and then hop up there for a few days and get back. And yeah, so it'll be really nice. And yeah, it'll be great to see some friends up there and so forth.
I hope the hurricanes stay at bay, you know. I hope they don't get horrific.
No, well, I keep telling everybody I want to get out of California before the big earthquake comes, you know. Like, what else has 2020 got for us? I'm like, oh my god. So Arizona is my first big stop, and I have a guy who's setting up like this whole global healing network, and he wants to do offsite retreats, and he would love to do it in Costa Rica. So I'm going to go and hang out for as long, and I got a food guy who's doing all these food products. So he's going to join us and just see where it all takes us.
Right.
So it's just like so super exciting. And it's like, oh, right. Cancer. Don't forget. But I have all these supplements and all this stuff I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm like, all right, here's, you know, it's quite a box. And that's
still
like
bringing your dehydrator and your juicer and everything else with you.
Yeah. And I've got, it's all at the boat. I've got an Instapot that I've never even used. And Camille is telling me she uses hers like every single day. And I'm like, I've used what do you call them? The steam blah, blah pot. The
like a rice steamer.
The pressure cooker. I've used
electric pressure cooker, basically. Yeah, but it also makes yogurt. So that's the cool part.
I I'm so, and I want to make coconut yogurt, right? With all the coconuts floating around down there.
Right.
And I just was at breakfast at Tiffany's or something. I'm like, I just like, I'm a little nervous. So I can't wait to use it and not have the lid blow the first time and say, okay,
it works. I've done it. Yeah. It works.
Yeah.
It works really well. Cause it has the timer on it and it you can set it so that it automatically does the de-steam. And I've only used it. I make lentils with it once for my kid, and I've made cauliflower in it. And I haven't done much else with it.
Yeah. So, and Terry, my captain, you know, he does not eat healthy and he's super excited to try it. You know, just throw whatever you want in there and set it and forget it. And yeah, so he'll be super happy. You know, probably be 20 pounds less in a month, you know. Where'd my captain go?
That'll be good for him. That'll be good.
Yeah, yeah. So all is well, you know. Good. Yeah.
Good. Well, let me know if you come through Texas.
Okay, I will.
All right, good.
And actually, my plan is to stay with a friend in Austin who's an amazing designer. Oh, you know what I just got? This is like the most exciting news. I got a digital rendering, video rendering of my mom's house for the Ocean View, the very first plantel that will set the stage for what's to come. I will send it to you because the first pass, and I'm so happy. It's stunning. And it's just like for investors and other people that would like to come and live within the residential community, it's like, oh, I get it now. It's just, it's gorgeous. And I found a hempcrete guy up in Quebec that is willing to come down and work with me. And, you know, like, it's all falling together. So I just can't wait for those little doors to open up and let me in. And, it's just all going to be so beautiful and fabulous. My mom deserves every little bit of it. And then I'm at peace, right? Like,
and how is she doing? Good. You know, is she freaking
she's
out?
She's doing down there? Great. Yeah. She's super happy. And she's got a new baby in the family, which, you know, they're sending pictures of her giving the baby the bottle. And, you know, I kind of freaked out. Oh, my God, all the extra germs that she'll have to fight off and this and that. And it's like, it's the best thing ever for her. She's just like grandma, you know. So it's definitely expanding her day-to-day existence for sure.
I'm glad to hear that. Well, good to hear from you. Thank you. Happy travels. And, you know, like I said, if you're coming to Austin, definitely give me a buzz. I'm probably not going to go anywhere.
I would love to meet you at the waterfall.
Okay. That would be awesome. We didn't get to do that this time.
Yeah.
That would make elixirs and cool. Ice cream though. She came by a travel, I don't know, to and from Costa Rica or whatever. And we made, she made an amazing salad dressing. We made this amazing salad. And then she goes, okay, I want your famous elixirs and ice cream. So we made elixirs and ice cream and it was really fun. Yeah.
They were delicious. So.
It was. All right. Well, we'll see you soon then. And we'll go to the waterfall. There's no water in the waterfall.
Absolutely.
But it's dry as a bone.
But maybe with the hurricanes.
That's what we keep saying. Maybe we'll at least get some rain from it. But probably not, right? She's been shaking her head. Nah. It'll just like pass us by. And
Did you get rain today?
No. It got a little cloudy. Did you get rain?
Yes.
Oh.
But that's it. That's it. No more in the forecast.
Yeah. No, I mean, I looked to everybody's like, how you doing, hurricane? And I'm looking going, 10 days straight of 98 to 100 degrees and sunny.
It's going to be 100 all this week.
Yeah, it's 91 still right now. Yeah, 103 tomorrow, 102, 102, 100, 100, all the way to Tuesday. And then we have a little bit of break when we go down to 96. Anyway, at least we don't have fires. That's, you know, fingers crossed, because that happened like 3 years ago in your area, right? Not out at near Bastrop. I don't know how close you are to Bastrop.
2011.
Really? It was that long ago?
And that park has had 3 fires already this summer.
Oh.
So,
yeah. I know that's 2011. Was it really that long ago? Because I remember Craig had just built his his house and it got burned down.
He burned the roof off his house. The cob was still intact.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know, he just had a baby, right?
Yeah.
You know they just had their baby? Yay.
Yeah.
Those of you who don't know Craig, if you've ever been to any of our events, he runs like the Sun Warrior table, and he's this kind of hippie dude, naturopath with a long ponytail. And he met his wife at our potluck. We have this monthly potluck, and he met his wife there. And I didn't even know they were dating for like a couple of years. And they said, oh, do you know we're a couple? Oh, and by the way, we're getting married. And they just had a baby like a month ago. That's very cool. Very cool. All right, guys, I got to go. Have a great life. Stay in touch. Those of you who are not coming back, those of you who are coming back, we're going to just look forward to hanging out and continuing to hang out. And yeah, just join us for the Vital Healing Kitchen Saturday. I have to figure out what I'm going to make. I think I'm going to make some, it's all about greens. So I'm going to make sneaky ways to get greens in. And I just got this really cool thing that I haven't tried it yet though. You put the zucchini in it and you roll it and it rolls it out in like lasagna noodle sizes. So I'll try it before I do it, but I'll demonstrate that. And I'm going to make some crackers that are loaded with greens. So portable greens on the go that you can take. So maybe satisfy Judy's little desire for crunch. Okay, guys, have a great one.
Enjoy. Thank you.
And we'll see you soon. Bye.
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 Goodbye. Bye, everyone.